Welcome. This is the newcomer panel. We selected three individuals from the state of Oklahoma, one from each area, to speak to you this afternoon. And your first representative is from Eastern area, and that is Allison I.
Technical difficulties. My name's Allison. I'm an addict.
Hey, Allison.
I'm pretty loud. Can you hear me?
No.
What?
Okay, hold on. Hang on.
You're fine. Keep talking.
I'm giving the microphone.
Just keep talking.
Hang on. Okay.
Ignore me.
All right. My clean date is 8/19/23. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. That's not my first clean date. It's actually my third. So I'm not going to get into a lot of the dirt. I did drugs. It's gone again. I did drugs. I did drugs really well, and it fucked my life up. So that's about all I'm going to say about that. Like, we all know the road we went down. So we are the topic of our discussion is what can I do? Here at Narcotics Anonymous, we carry five suggestions, and with talking to lots of members, different home groups say them a little differently. There's a little variation in there. I've noticed some groups are starting to add a sixth suggestion, which is connection with a higher power, and I think that's super crucial too. But mainly, in my area, it's one, go to meetings. Two, get a sponsor. Three, read the literature. Four, work the steps. And number five, no matter what, right? So, and then of course, you know, connection to a higher power is huge. I don't know about y'all, but when I came in, I was more, this time in particular, I was more spiritually broken than I've ever been before in my life. And that was one of the worst bottoms I've ever experienced. I've been homeless on the streets. I've been to jails, I've been to institutions, but the spiritual death that I experienced was the worst bottom that I've ever had in my life. And coming back in this time, I have given 110% to my program. The steps are hitting different, my level of service is different, and it's because my life depends on it more so now than it ever has before. Yeah, so what can I do, right? Our literature, I'm gonna dive into the literature quite a bit because I think it's super important. And I'm gonna be pretty quick because we've got two other speakers. The first step to recovery is to stop using drugs, right? That's what we gotta do when we come in here. Day one, you know, that day one is the most important. If you've got a day clean, if you woke up clean this morning, you're a fucking miracle. So that's the first step, right? But then there's a lot more to it. We learn through the recovery process once we come in here that, like, that was just a small symptom of my disease. There's so much more to the disease of addiction than just the symptom of using drugs. The steps, man, the steps are so crucial. In our literature, it says the steps are going to improve our attitude. Our thinking is what got us here. When left to my own devices, like, I end up with prison sentences, and that's usually what gets me clean, right? Like, the second time I got clean, I was looking at 25 years in prison. This time around, I was looking at 45. My higher power decided that I needed another chance. I've had several second chances, So we need to change. Our disease involved much more than just using drugs, and recovery is an act of change in our ideas and attitudes, right? We have to face everything within us in order to get clean. You know, whatever it is that brought us in here, relationships, finances, all the things, past traumas, those all have to be addressed, and I think those are mainly addressed through the step working process. And sponsorship. Sponsorship is a vital component to our recovery. The therapeutic value is best understood from with the two-way street of sponsorship. I get just as much from my sponsees as I hope to get from my sponsor, and that's how it works. It says on what can I do on page 55 of our basic, it says denial of our disease and other reservations keep us sick. I've allowed a reservation to run me out of this program before. Reservations are tricky because sometimes you don't even really know that you have a reservation or a resentment, both of which can kill us. I had a reservation it was more imposter syndrome. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but like I built this beautiful life that I felt like I didn't deserve. And I had been going to college. I'd been working really hard. Bought my first home, and threw it all away because I felt like I didn't deserve all the good things that I had put in the work for. And then I got my feelings hurt once upon a time in the fellowship, and I told myself that I didn't need the fellowship anymore, and I walked away from the program. And I promise you, it was only a couple of months, and I was back in relapse. And the whole time I was in relapse, I was like, man, fuck those people. And they weren't thinking about me. That was all within me. I was keeping myself sick with that and only hurt myself. It does say that dishonesty, closed-mindedness, and unwillingness are three of our greatest enemies, and self-obsession is the core of our disease. I understand that completely and fully this go-round. Because of how self-obsessed and selfish I was. Whether it be like from the victim stance or what have you, like it was, oh my God, my life is so terrible. I've been through so much, you gotta feel sorry for me. But that was really, at the end of the day, that's how I got my needs met. You know, feel bad for me, oh woe is me, and that sort of thing. And that doesn't feel good. I don't like being like that. And what gets me out of that state of mind is being of service to others. I work in treatment, and I'm of service to this fellowship because it gets me out of myself. Because if I can talk to another human being and maybe inspire them or plant seeds or just be a listening ear in their time of need, my shit doesn't seem that bad. And that's huge for me. So I'm going to keep going in the literature. We've learned that our old ideas and our old ways won't help us to stay clean or to live a better life. We can only change the way we react and the way we see ourselves, right? I'm only in control of my own thoughts, actions, and behaviors. Like, I can't worry. It's real easy for me to, like, worry about what they're doing so that I don't have to face my own shit. And that's where the step working process gets me back into my shit. I just got to worry about me and making this better. Can't worry about making your shit better, because I can take your inventory really quick. You know what I'm saying? But I try not to be a judgmental person today. I try to just work on my defects and be the best human being that I can be. Because I do, at the end of the day, feel like I have a lot to prove. Like, I did a lot of damage to society. And now I get to be of service to society. So... yeah, it says that worrying about ourselves is necessary for us to accept that change is gradual. Recovery is an ongoing process. Another thing that we suggest is go to meetings. We as addicts like to isolate a lot. And they do suggest 90 meetings in 90 days. And the reason they do that is because we can only realize that we're not chronically unique by hearing other people tell our story. And that's huge. So there's people who share our difficulties, past and present, and the meetings strengthen our recovery. It goes on to say that our common effort is recovery. I'm trying to touch a little bit on all five suggestions, just because they're there for a reason. And I will just say that this is such a simple program. Just follow those five suggestions, and you'll be successful. Never have we seen an addict who works the Narcotics Anonymous program fail if they follow all the suggestions, period. I've learned that the hard way. You know, if I half-ass my recovery, I'm going to get half-ass recovery. We replace our old habits with new ways of living, and we become willing to change. Resistance to change is something that I've struggled with my whole life. And then I had a therapist one time tell me that the only thing constant is change. And that was like, oh, what a concept. That's amazing. And then I was like, it's much easier to embrace it when you realize that, like, nothing ever stays the same. And just go with, roll with the punches. So another tool for newcomer is involvement with the fellowship. I do take service very seriously. I do it at the group level. You know, if I see that the coffee pot's empty, I make a pot of coffee. If I see that a newcomer is struggling, I go talk to that newcomer. If I see an old timer struggling, I go talk to that old timer. We all struggle. I'm also involved in area. And then I just recently became involved as the RS. I'm so nervous right now.
RCM
alt for region. Yeah. So, and then I also get on this committee. I love being on this committee. This is my second year doing it. It's a guarantee for a year. Somebody's going to expect me to be there and show up, suit up and show up, like I said I was going to, for a year. You know, this is going to be over tomorrow, and then in June we start it all over again. You know, and that's a guaranteed year that somebody's going to be looking for me to fill a seat. And it's a way that I hold myself accountable, and I enjoy that. I also just got asked to be on another committee. So, like, service is huge for me. Let's see, sponsorship. Like, I touched on sponsorship being a two-way street. It's also a responsibility of the group. It says in our literature that, like, you see a newcomer come in, and it's important to swoop that newcomer up. And they do suggest males with males, females with females, you know, and there's some blurred lines in there, but I look to the women in this fellowship for strength, for guidance, and my sponsor has 29 years clean. She clearly knows how to stay clean better than I do. She picked up one white key tag. I'm on my third, you know, so she understands and can call me on my bullshit better than somebody with less clean time than I have, you know. On page 57, it goes on to say that as newcomers, we find it easier if we have someone whose judgment we trust and whom we can confide. It's huge. I learned a valuable lesson this year with trust. And it's a crucial component to this whole deal. Having somebody that we can trust that will not betray that trust is something that I take very seriously and I value. Our experience, I read that one, my bad. We learn that the program won't work when we try to adapt it to our life. We must learn to adapt our life to this program. And I do that today. And it's kept me clean and it saves my life on a regular basis. Today we seek our solutions, not our problems. And then on the higher power thing, I struggled with belief in a higher power for most of my life. And I don't know if it was because this last relapse that I experienced brought me closer to death than I've ever come before, literally. I even almost lost my legs due to my addiction. And I'm fortunate today to be standing in front of you. And I don't take that lightly. When I was told that by doctors that not only was I as close to death as I was, but that they were about to amputate my legs, my only thought was that, well, if this happens, I don't want to be here anymore. And I had the means to end my life. And that's where my addiction had taken me. And that wasn't enough to get me clean. Fast forward 6 months and I get busted. That was my higher power intervening in my life. My higher power had bigger plans for me, and I see that now. And through the step working process this time, through working steps 1, 2, and 3 this time, I came to believe in a higher power that loves me, that only wants the best for me. And that's something that I'm getting chills right now. That's something I've never experienced in my life. Because through the step working process, I was able to make my higher power what I wanted my higher power to be, and let go of all the other bullshit that I'd been grown up, you know, taught and as a child, whatever. I could remove all that and just make my higher power. And that's all that we mean when we say higher power. It doesn't have to be any particular religious doctrine. It doesn't have to be a particular creed, whatever. It's just what we want it to be, you know, and we all are human beings who are very different and believe in very many different things. And that's fine. That's okay. When I was clean before, the rooms were my higher power, and that worked. That worked until I was able to come to believe something outside of that. So freedom to change seems to come after acceptance of ourselves. This program has taught me to love myself in my own skin, which I didn't learn how to do until recently. I had to strip away all the bullshit of worrying about what other people think of me. What other people think of me is absolutely none of my business. You know? That's pretty cool, right? Like, all I gotta worry about is how I feel about me. If you don't like me, well, let, you know, call your sponsor.
Right.
So, you know, that took a huge load off my shoulders. Sharing with fellow addicts is a basic tool in our program. Simply having somebody to talk to that gets it. You know, I always joke that I wish we could have an NA podcast, because if you could hear some of the conversations that we sit around the table, and it's perfectly normal for us, but if other people heard it, they'd be like, what are these people talking about? I love it. Words mean nothing until we put them into action. I also want to say one of my Eastern area people likes to say, just going to meetings is just coffee and bullshit. Without doing the rest of these suggestions, you're just coffee and bullshitting. You know? And I'll end with this, guys. We recognize our spiritual growth when we're able to reach out and help other people. That's what this fellowship's about, is supporting one another, loving one another, and being there for one another. Without judgment, without any kind of hate. We all just, whether or not I would have hung out with you out there on the streets, or even if I don't hang out with you in here, like, I still love you. I still want to see you succeed, and I still want to see you get clean. And even if I don't know you, like, when I don't see your face anymore, it hurts my heart. Yeah. You know, I see all these empty seats, and it's like, man, I wish they were full. Because there's somebody out there who's dying to get into them. Yeah. There's people out there who are dying because they don't know that this fellowship exists. So I recover out loud. It's super important to me. Like, I work in treatment, and I hear people all the time talk about the stigma of addiction and how they feel like they don't want to identify as an addict or alcoholic or what have you, because it labels them. But I wouldn't be where I'm at if I weren't an addict. I wouldn't be the human being that I am right now if I weren't an addict. So I recover very loudly. And yes, I do believe that when we step out, you know, we were just talking about how, you know, we might be the only link to Narcotics Anonymous that a newcomer has. Like, I represent Narcotics Anonymous everywhere I go. Because this fellowship means the world to me. This fellowship has saved my life. I've done the court treatment programs. I've done all the other outside help that I could possibly get. But this was where I found my home. This is where I found my people. And this is what feeds my spirit. And with that, I just want to say I love you, family.
Love you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you so much.
So our next, excuse me, our next individual, I first met her in Oklahoma City in Western area at a newcomer speaker jam. And out of all the individuals that spoke that day, her message stood out, and I knew that at the next committee meeting, when we would talk about this panel, I knew exactly who to invite to represent Western area. And at this time, I'd like to ask Justice H. to come up.
Hello, family.
Hello.
I say hello, family.
Hello.
My name's Justice H. I have a clean day of 122-25. I don't say that to brag. I say that to let you know recovery is possible, right? Because when I came to these rooms, I didn't know nothing about recovery or that I could change the person I was and become a better person, right? My home group is We Do Recover on the East Side. Yeah, and I love my home group, right? Because they're the people that welcomed me into this program and showed me a new way of life. So I'm going to touch a little bit on the literature, a little bit on my backstory, and tell y'all where I am today. So I like right here when it says, gradually we replace old habits with a new way of living. We become willing to change. When I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't listen to my mom, let alone with somebody else I didn't know how to tell me what to say, how they got here, or these are the five suggestions, they'll save your life if you follow them. I didn't really care about none of that, right? Everybody else was the problem, and I was the solution. If y'all listened to me, we all would be great. I was in for a rude awakening, right? So I came to these rooms before because of a core program. And I just wanted to graduate that program. I didn't know that it would help me change my life. I didn't know it would change me as a person. I didn't know that I would work a program and actually stay in this program when I graduated. So I come to meetings. I heard people sharing about these five suggestions. And I just kept looking at them like, nope, I will never do those. Not me. Not this girl. But I took the first one, right, which is stay clean, no matter what. And in doing that, I was able to find a home group, and in doing that, I was able to find a fellowship. And they always say, like, get the literature and read it. And that's what I did. I got the literature and I read it. Like, my home group, we stay in this literature. Because the program is in the literature, right? So the literature is going to teach me the program. When I leave the meeting, that's when I put the program into practice. Right? Outside the meeting. Because I can act clean all day long in the meeting. And then when I leave the meeting, I'm acting crazy. I'm fighting the guy at 7-Eleven because he didn't give me my right change back. This car cut me off, so I'm going to follow him and chase him. And all those things changed in me because of this fellowship, right? I became a better person each day. Another tool right here, it says another tool for the newcomer is involvement with the fellowship. So when I came to We Do Recover, I got involved. Like, I started chairing a women's meeting. I became secretary, which was very, very, very overwhelming. I don't suggest being secretary in your first year. If you want to, go ahead, but it's a little rough. That was on my head every meeting about something, but it helped me become a better person and taught me how to take constructive criticism and take it like these people really want to help me change my life. I started reaching out, asking for help when I was struggling, and I got very honest at my home group. Like, I told them things about me that a lot of people wouldn't know or understand, right? Because nobody on the outside understands how we are inside of here. That's why I call y'all my family, because we understand each other. We can get open and honest with each other. I could break down walls in here and know that y'all will support me no matter what, no matter what I've been through, where I was before. Y'all only care about the solution. So how are we going to help you get to a better person, right? How am I going to help you change? If I don't tell y'all what's wrong, how y'all going to help me? So I got a sponsor. She here today. she really tells me about myself. We went to a women's retreat. And on the way down there, I was joking with her. I was like, if I asked you to be my sponsor, what would you say? She said, girl, you playing, right? And then at the end of the women's retreat, I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said yes. She knows I'm a handful and a headache and all the things, but she's willing to put up with it because she wants to see me be a better person. She pushes me every day to keep coming to the fellowship. And in doing that, I started opening up to other people. You know, when the newcomer come in, instead of me being like, I'm the newcomer still, I only got a year, I'm like, welcome, right? Because it's not about me no more. It's about somebody else. What can I do to help the newcomer? And so, where was I going with that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. I think out loud. It says, our experience reveals that working the steps is our best guarantee against relapse. And so I was in another fellowship and working the steps with that sponsor over there, but I didn't feel like I was getting any depth. Like, I wasn't learning about myself. I was Googling the answers to some of the questions she was asking me. But I knew I didn't want to live this way of life. So if I don't want to live this way of life and I'm in drug court about to graduate, something got to give, justice. So what we finna do? And I asked myself questions a lot, right? But then I started asking my higher power questions. And he started leading me to where I need to be, who I need to talk to, who do I need to associate with. Do I love my home group? Yes. Do I love everybody in there? Yes. But are we all friends? No. And that's great for me because the ones I'm not friends with really be the ones that tell me how it is when I need to hear it. My home group had a whole emergency meeting to get on me, right? Because I came in there acting like I knew it all, and they had to tell me. We really tell the newcomer, like, for the first 6 months, you just sit back and be quiet. You're going to learn something, tink, tink. And I'm in there like, no, I know it all. The literature says this. The literature says that. But nah, they really helped me get to where I am today. And it says we learned that the program won't work when we try to admit. The program won't work when we try to adapt it to our life. We must learn to adapt our life to the program. And when I would go to court, the judge would always tell me, like, Justice, the program is your life. And I'd be looking at him like, but you ain't even in the program. You just the judge, right? Like, how you know what you're talking about? But once I made this program my way of life, and I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I'm in the No Matter What Club. That's whenever this program started working for me. That's whenever I took the suggestions and wholeheartedly was like, Justice, you need to change who you are. Because I got some dirty stuff up in my closet that I need to clean it on out, right? Because I could walk around here and act like I'm practicing recovery all the time, right? And then when I get home to my room, I'm in there with an attitude and I'm judging. Yeah. Talking about who said what. Talking about this person don't like me. Talking about this person said this and they need to be practicing this because they don't know this and I know that. And I was just getting crazy. And so that's when I started just staying in constant contact with my higher power. And growing up, I went to church, you know, and it just wasn't my judge. Like, it was cool, you know, but I thought it was, like, all the front. Like, they was just up there saying all these things, and they in the casinos and the clubs and the bars and stuff. But in this program, like, she was saying, like, I got to make my own higher power, right? And my higher power is everything I aspire to be in this world, right? I love to help people. I want to change the world. I want to love myself. I want everybody to love me, but I want to love them. I want all the things that I want to be, I want respect, right? I want to be patient, kind, caring. Those are all the things my higher power is. And in being that, I can go to him and talk to him. I know he understands me. I know he forgives me because time and time again, I wake up and leave the house without contacting, with staying in that contact with him. And it'll be the middle of the day, and I'm like, Mom, this just happened at work. And she like, did you pray?
Yeah.
Did you read your literature? Call your sponsor. And some days I don't even call my sponsor with it because I already know what she's going to say. She's going to tell me to pray, get in my book, and work my steps. And dang, where am I going, y'all? How much time I got? No, I'm playing. It says we believe that our higher power will take care of us if we honestly try to do God's will to the best of our ability. I didn't know what God's will was for me. I just knew I didn't want to use drugs anymore, right? And I always tell, like, because I work at teams, so I teach these classes, and I always tell them, like, when you don't know what the next right thing to do is, right, just do the next thing right. And so that's what I started doing. Whatever was in front of me to be done, I just did it right. I did it with love. I did it with patience. I did it with kindness. And things just started going right for me. I started putting days together. I graduated the court program, got a job at team, started speaking at meetings. I'm like, what? Me? If you really knew me, how I know me?
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all want me up here, right? But I get asked to speak at places, right, and share my story with other people to let them know that it is possible because, like my Amy say, if you be addict like I be addict, you need to be in here too. We all qualify. What's another? Oh, okay, let me see. Some of the most common excuses for using are loneliness, self-pity, and fear. Dishonesty, closed-mindedness, and unwillingness are three of our greatest enemies. Self-obsession is the core of our disease. When I came to this program, I was dishonest, closed-minded, and unwilling to change who I was because why would I change whenever I thought my life was going so great? If the cops wouldn't have pulled me over, I wouldn't ever went to jail. If the judge wasn't in my business, I wouldn't be facing 10 years. You know, like, it's everybody else's fault but my own. And I had a lot of fear. I still have a lot of fear. Like, getting up here today, I had a lot of fear. But it was good fear. Like, I'm about to help. Hopefully, I help change somebody's life. If not, I'm changing my own by getting up here fear, right? I could look in the rear view of my car when I'm driving and the cops pull up and I just, hey, how you doing? Where are we going? Oh, we're going to the same place, cool. Whereas before, I would be scared because I wasn't working a program. I didn't have people in my life who genuinely cared about me and helped me, wanted to help me change. I didn't care about justice, right? And they said this is a selfish program, meaning I have to learn to love myself before I can love y'all, right? I can't say I love y'all. I can say I love y'all, y'all want to, but am I really loving y'all when I'm not loving myself? I'm my own worst enemy. So until I stop being my own worst enemy and I treat justice with some grace and some care, then how I'm going to help y'all, right? So this program has taught me how to love myself. This program got me a relationship with my mom back. This program got me a bomb a job. You know, I get to help addicts every day. I get to, like, go to the jail and pick people up, and they trusted me to drive the company car and bring it back. You know what I mean? And when I bring the company car back, I'm bringing it back with people that I can help tell them, hey, this is what worked for me. Maybe you should try it. I don't force our program because it's attraction rather than promotion. Even though sometimes I be wanting to promote, I know I can't, right? So I just have to show them how I live my life. What do I do daily? Like, how can I walk and show these people that this way of life is possible as long as you come? And that's crazy to me because I had a lot of fear about what if I'm not good enough when I got here, right? What if I can't change? What if this program don't work for me? Because I just knew, like, when I got here, I was like, I'm going to stay for 30 days. All right, 30 days. And when the program don't work, I could say it's all y'all's fault and I tried it. But I wasn't trying nothing, right? I was just coming to me just sitting there. Then I'll share like I knew what I was talking about and then just sit there. And they're looking at me like, keep on coming back. Give me a hug. Just for today, you know? And they would tell me, like, be where your feet are. And I would be like, what? What does that mean? I just caught myself telling somebody the other day, just be where your feet are. And she looking at me like, what does that mean? I'm like, keep coming back. You know? The same little things they say to me, now I can say to other people. I feel so cool when I'm speaking that NA literature. Like, I'm part of something you don't even know about yet, but you're going to know. And when you know, you're going to be smiling like me. They be looking like, why are you so happy? I don't know, NA. Why are you so happy, NA? That's all I can say, right? Because this program has changed my life, and who I was before is not who I am today. And I don't know if y'all got anything about what I was saying, because I'm really a jokester when I get up here. I try to be serious as best as I can. But my higher power funny, so I'm funny too, right? If I leave y'all with anything, I just want to leave y'all with this program does work. If nobody told you they love you today, yes. I love you, yes. Right? And the way I show y'all I love y'all is I stay in my process, and I hope y'all do too. Thank you.
My name is Allison. I'm an addict. Our next speaker is from the Southern Fifth. I met Eric last year at OKRCNA, and since he has become a friend, a confidant, a fellow committee member, and I just love him to pieces, and I think you will too. Welcome, Eric.
All right, hello family.
Hello.
My name is Eric H., and I am a grateful recovering addict. By the grace of God, my higher power, and this fellowship of MA, I've been clean for 2 years, 1 month, and 23 days. My clean date is February 19th, 2024. So what I want to tell you today is how the disease of addiction does not discriminate. It doesn't matter where you came from, what your life was before. is it will get you. You know, I came from a very good family. I came from a medical family. My dad was a doctor. My mother was a nurse practitioner. And I was a medical professional for 25 years. The disease of addiction took all that away from me. So I'll start back. When I was younger, you know, one of the things that I suffered with was isolation at a very young age because I didn't feel like I fit in. I grew up in a very small town in East Texas. I was the first openly gay student in my high school in the late 1990s. And that was a very difficult time. You know, I always sought to fit in, but I always was on the outside because I was different. You know, as I went through life, I was always seeking to fit in. I was seeking love and acceptance and just to be a part of something. But because of who I am, I was not. And gratefully, today's society has changed. As I moved on into my college years, I met my partner. And as many of us in active addiction, or in, a lot of us in addiction, you know, we start in college. And that's where it started for me. And I met my partner in active addiction. We both graduated, and we started careers. And at that point, we knew that we couldn't continue to use and keep the careers that we had worked so hard for. So together, we decided we just were not going to use. And we were each other's support. And that support carried on for 20 years. Now, through that whole time, addictive behavior was there. I was obsessed with education because I felt I could fit in. I got my associate's degree, I got my bachelor's degree, and I moved on and got my master's degree. But none of that mattered. That was just my addiction because I was seeking something. And this is probably the very most difficult part of my story. December 2nd, 2021, I lost my partner to suicide. And through trying to escape grief and pain, I became an active addict, everyday using. Because I did not want to feel the grief and pain that I had in my life. That I had lost what I felt was my heart and soul. My soulmate, the person that had supported me for 20 years. So through that, we all know what that active addiction looks like. So I'm not going to take you down those streets. But in March of 2022, as a result of my active addiction, I had 17 OKC narcotics officers storm my home. Now, granted, I was still working as a medical professional. I was director of nursing in one of the large hospitals in Oklahoma City. And I had 17 OKC narcotics officers storm my door. And at that point, my life changed. But at the same time, nothing changed. Because even though at that point, I signed for 20 years probation, I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care. I continued to use and do the things that I had become accustomed to. What was my everyday life? What followed that was homelessness. I went from living in a $2.5 million home to being homeless, living in abandoned apartments that I broke into just to get out of the snow on Christmas Eve. And my addiction told me that that was okay. I had lost my career that I had spent a very long time building, the respect of many colleagues within the community of the healthcare profession, to be literally sitting in an abandoned apartment on on Christmas Eve just to get out of the snow. And my addiction had me believing that that was okay.
Well, I got out of that abandoned apartment, and I was able to get another apartment, but I was still active in my addiction. In February 2023, I had 37 OKC narcotics officers storm my home again. And at that point, have y'all ever heard that if you're running from the law, go three states away and they won't come for you? Well, that's what I did. I went to California. I had a buddy of mine that was a truck driver that came through Oklahoma City once a week. And I said, hey, I got a problem. I said, I'm gonna get away from here. And he's like, I got you. So I jumped on the truck with him and went to California. But little did I know, depending on how bad they want you, or let me say, how bad you fucked up, because I fucked up royally by this point, they would come and get you. So I got arrested in California for jaywalking. And they showed a warrant from Oklahoma. So, set my 28 days in California, then 19 days on a transit van like this.
Jesus.
19 days traveling across the country to get back to Oklahoma. Oklahoma County wanted me that damn bad. So, during that time, I said, my life is over. So I mentally prepared, but by the time I got back to Oklahoma City, that I was going to prison for the rest of my life. That I would spend the rest of my adult life behind bars. I would probably never see my family again. I would never work again. So my life as I knew it didn't matter. I had to be prepared for a new way of life behind bars. So when I arrived back in Oklahoma City in April of that year, I was like, let's roll. I knew where I was headed, or so I thought. Jails, institutions, and death. Well, I'd already experienced the jails. I was on my way to experience the institutions, but death was not something I was ready to face. By the grace of God, in September of 2024, if you do not know what TEAM is out of Oklahoma County, it is a pretrial release program. It took my attorney 6 months. She got my bond reduced low enough that I could be released on a pretrial release, but the only stipulation that they would allow that to happen is if I went to rehab. So I said, sure, I'll do that. Still at this point, I was not looking for a new way to live. I was looking for a way out of jail. I'll go to rehab. You want me there 30, 60, 90 days? That's fine. I'll do it. As long as I can get back out on the streets. Because that's all I was trying to do, is get out of jail and back on the streets. I wasn't seeking a new way to live. But when I was given that opportunity and I was waiting for my bed to come available, I was sitting in my jail cell, and the only book that was available to read was a Narcotics Anonymous basic text. And if you've ever been in Oklahoma County Jail, 23 hours a day in your cell, you ain't got no time but to read. So I read the basic text front to back while I was waiting on my bed to come available for me to go to rehab. And it sunk in that if I wanted something different, if I wanted a different life, something had to change. So when I entered into rehab, you know, not plugging any specific rehabs, but I will, Catalyst Behavioral Services of Lawton saved my life because they set me on the path that brought me here to Narcotics Anonymous. And I had a mindset that if I didn't change, or if I didn't try something different, I already knew where I was going. I was already prepared for that. So in September of 2024, I found the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. Better yet, I found the best home group ever. And that's different way Narcotics Anonymous. One of our suggestions is 90 meetings in 90 days. Well, I didn't have a job when I first got out of rehab, so I did 132 meetings in 90 days. I didn't have anything else to do. Why not go to a meeting, right? In that time, you know, we go around the room and we introduce ourselves. And a lot of people say, you know, I'm an addict. My name is Eric. There was an individual in my fellowship, in my home group, that he would say, I'm an addict and my problem is, and he would say his name. And that stood out to me, because also in our literature it tells us to find something that we identify with. It just, something about that struck with me. So I went up to him and I said, why do you introduce yourself that way? And he said, because drugs were not my problem, my problem was me.
Yep.
Drugs were the solution to my problem that later became a problem in itself. And that light bulb went off. And then I realized why I used. Why I was using drugs. It was the problems that I had within me. Not just the pain and grief, but it was also a lot of the emotional trauma that I had from my childhood and a whole other bag of shit. So, you know, that was a great opportunity for me to actually see what I needed to address in this program. So, tradition one is like my very, very favorite. It says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And then later on it says, unity is the spirit that joins thousands of members around the world in spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. And furthermore, it says, as each individual member relies on the support of the fellowship for survival, so NA survival depends on its memberships. Depends on its members. And within that is where I found a very strong foothold within the Narcotics Anonymous program. They say, find you a winner, see the winners, you'll see what you want. They also say, get in the middle of the boat or drown, because if you're hanging on to the side, you're just going to fall back in. So I did just that. I got in the middle of the boat because I was tired of falling off the side. And the best one yet is get in the back pocket of an old timer and do what they do. And I can honestly say, like it or not, I got in her back pocket, which was Elena. I didn't give her a choice to allow me to get in. I climbed in and I sewed myself in. She is now my ride or die. We go everywhere together. We do a lot of things. You know, we get to check off bucket list, going on an NA cruise, experiencing the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous on a worldwide level. You know, the cruise that we just went on, every state of the United States, all U.S. territories, and 9 countries from around the world were represented. There was over 960 NA members.
Let's go!
Yeah. So within that, I find connection, and I broaden my base, because everywhere I go, I travel a lot for the purpose of meeting someone new, because I can pick up my phone at any given time, because sometimes I don't want to talk to y'all that I see on a regular basis, because y'all already know me on my bullshit. I need somebody that doesn't see me on my bullshit to tell me the same fucking thing that y'all's going to tell me.
Come on.
So in September of 2025, as I'm still dealing with this court case, I'm facing going to prison for 25 years. It's an aggravated charge. So that means I'm going to do 85% of that 25 years. And that's the minimum. I made one of the most terrifying decisions, and that was to do a blind plea. And if you don't know what a blind plea is, I'll tell you. Traditionally, you take a plea agreement that's decided between you and the district attorney that you're going to do X amount of time, or you go to trial, and you have a jury of 13 of your peers that decide your fate. I did the third option, was I put my fate in the hands of one person, which is a very scary decision. And that one person was the judge. She was the same judge that gave me the opportunity to go to rehab. And she said, Eric, all I want you to do is realize this is not you. She said, go to rehab, get your shit together, and you'll be just fine. So I'm on this pretrial release for a little over a year. During this time, it's when I find the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship and I get involved. How do I get involved? I get involved with service work. Why? Because I see my predecessors, the ones that are winning in this program, how do they do it? They do it through service work. There is not an individual in this program that has decades that does not do service work.
Say that.
So if it works for them, why wouldn't it work for me?
That's right.
So today, I have service positions in my home group, in my home group's GSR. I have an area service group or service commitment, and I also have this region service commitment to be on this committee. You know, because service work is something vital, but at the same time, I'm going to take it back to tradition one. When I'm doing my service work, I get to be a part of that NA unity. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. So while I'm sitting out there at the registration table checking people in, I get to meet so many new people. And it's the fellowship. And people that, you know, I went to Recovery by the Sea, which is a big convention in Corpus Christi. And all weekend long, we're walking down the beach and I hear people hollering my name. Why is that? Because I met them somewhere. And they remembered me, I remembered them. So let me tell you about the gifts of recovery. So if any of y'all sat in on the regional speaker, that's my sponsor. Even though he threw me underneath the bus, yes, on Thursday I was arrested.
Damn it.
That was me. I had all the registration merchandise in my vehicle. But at the same time, we have to clean up the wreckage of our past. I had an outstanding traffic ticket that I forgot to pay. But by the grace of God and this program, I had money in the bank.
Yeah.
You know, when I was active in my addiction, I wouldn't have had $11 in the bank, let alone $1,100.
Come on.
So when I went to jail, I wasn't stressed like it was before of how the hell am I going to get out of here. I knew how I was going to get out of here because I had a credit card in my wallet to my bank account that had plenty of money on it that when the judge said, this is how much you owe, I could pay it. So I saw the judge on Friday morning, and he told me exactly how much money I had to pay, and I said, no problem. He's like, you can pay that? And I said, yes, sir. And as soon as they released me, I walked right over to the clerk, and I swiped my card, and then I got in the car, and I got my ass here.
Yeah, buddy!
That is truly a gift of recovery, because like I said, active in my addiction, I wouldn't have had $11, let alone $1,100 to pay the courts. So I was also asked, did you learn something from that? I said, yeah, always keep money in the bank. So I'll tell on myself at this point. That ain't the first time that's happened in recovery. It also happened Christmas Eve.
Oh, shit.
That one cost me $3,000. But guess what? I had the money in the bank to take care of it. So, if you're a newcomer in this program, I want to challenge you today. And also, if you're an old-timer in this program,
I also want to give you a challenge. And that challenge is service work. Because service work keeps my ass clean. Because grandma said an idle hand is the devil's workplace. Well, that devil's workplace is what got me in trouble to begin with. So I keep my hands busy today. But my challenge to you is to get involved. Be of service. You can find service at any level. Your home group, area, region. There's plenty of subcommittees out there. This subcommittee for this convention that puts it together, it takes us a year to do this. And guess what? There's no clean time required. It doesn't matter how much clean time you have. You can get involved in service. Because the thing is with that service work, you're going to build connections and fellowship. And you're going to find friends that you can lean on when you need it. Because Thursday, when I got arrested, I picked up the phone and I called a fellow member and I said, hey, I need you to stop getting your nails done right now and come get my car. I already knew I was getting arrested, but I didn't tell her. And she said, I could hear her on the phone. She asked her nail tech, I've got to leave. I'll be right back. And she did that for me.
Yeah.
She stopped in the middle of her nail appointment to come take possession of my vehicle that had all of y'all's NA merchandise in it. And I was able to turn everything over to her. Same time when I got arrested in December. I had people in my home group that were, they didn't care what it took. They were going to come up with the money to get me out of jail. I'm sitting in jail going, it's okay, I'll pay it tomorrow when they let me see the judge. But I couldn't talk to them, but they were over there making sure together they all had the money to get my ass out of jail if necessary. Aww. You know, I owe my life to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Not because it fixed me. Because it reminded me I was never broken beyond repair. It didn't just save my life, it gave it back to me. I'm very grateful to the program of Narcotics Anonymous for the life that I have today. And that gratitude extends to each and every one of you in this room. Because I don't do this alone, I do it with each and every one of you. And I'm going to close with this one thing. This is something that's always shared at my home group meetings when a certain member is there. If you haven't heard the message today, let me share it with you now. Our message is hope. The promise of freedom. That is the one spiritual principle we give you as soon as you get here. And that is freedom. That an addict, any addict, can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And my name is Erica. I am a grateful addict.
Now you close.
Okay.
My name is Allison. Oh, my name is Allison, and I'm an addict.